This program is part of the Infinite Potato Alliance. Visit us at infinitepotato.com.
I'm Jared Stern.
I'm also Jared Stern.
And you're between two Sterns. Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Jared. I'll see you soon.
Yes.
She's been standing in the corner waiting to interrupt the podcast for the past 5 minutes.
And
lingering around, organizing shoes that don't need to be organized, sitting on the stairs for no reason.
That's not true. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
You're ratting me out. You're the worst.
How's
How
it going?
You been? Oh, you know, the huge.
The U-J-Z-E?
Right.
Is that it?
The U-S-G-E, I believe, is what we decided on way back when.
I'm doing okay. I think so. Health-wise, I seem to be in a pretty good spot this week.
Just so long as you can make it one more week.
I think I can make it one more week.
Okay, good. Are you as excited as I am?
I'm stoked. I am not only excited, I just got off the phone with my mom, where every family member thinks that this thing that's happening Sunday is happening a different day. I was like, for the love of God, we talked. It's Sunday.
How was Mother's Day?
Did Mother's Day.
Mother's Day?
How did I celebrate Mother's Day? I celebrated Mother's Day with Julie's parents.
Mm-hmm.
We went and got, one thing I've learned about Julie is whenever she talks about certain types of food, it's never what I assume it is. So she's like, hey, why don't we go do barbecue with my parents mm-hmm. for Mother's Day? And so her and I have been doing a keto diet for the past couple of weeks, however long it's been at this point. I'm down about 5 or 6 pounds. Feels good. I'm over the sugar addiction phase of it. But, you know, barbecue sounds delicious. It was Taiwanese barbecue, not traditional American barbecue. So I don't know if you're familiar with, are you familiar with Korean barbecue?
I mean, sure.
For those of you who are not familiar with the concept of Korean barbecue, it is magnificent. It's like you pay a fee and you select from a variety of different types of meats that they bring over to your table. And you have like a big grill thing in the middle of your table and you grill your meats and your vegetables there in person. And then you, you eat it. You pay somebody for the experience of cooking your food yourself.
There used to be a Mongolian barbecue.
Oh, okay.
In Bethesda.
Okay.
And you would take all of your raw meats.
Yeah.
And they would cook all of it in a wok in front of you, and then they would give it back to you.
So eliminate them doing it for you and you just having the tray. So that's Korean barbecue. And then if you don't know Korean barbecue, then I'm going to guess that you don't know what hot pot is.
No, I've heard of hot pot. I think I've heard of hot pot. Yes.
So hot pot is like a big bowl of like different types of broths, spicy broth, non-spicy broth, and you cook your meats and vegetables in that. So that's a different thing. Taiwanese barbecue is a fusion of the two. So they have like a little bowl that you can do like the soup and broths thing in the middle, and then like a variety of grills around it that you can grill your own meat and stuff with. It's fun. So we did Taiwanese barbecue. I continue my education to try and learn Mandarin because Julie's parents do not speak much English.
Oh, wow.
They are very, very, very sweet people. I've learned that I'm probably leading them quite a bit with social cues, because if I'm saying something that I want people to find funny, I tend to smile as I talk about it. And then they catch on to that. And we both laugh at things and I don't know. But I've been learning, I've been slowly learning Mandarin for a number of reasons. One,
by the way, there's no way to quickly learn Mandarin.
No, there isn't. No. An interesting fact that I did learn, though, was so Julie is born in America. She's half Taiwanese, half Chinese. She speaks Mandarin. Mm-hmm. And I've been starting to learn Mandarin a little bit. What I did not realize, and it's a fascinating thing. The thing about, I know specifically Chinese, it could apply to other Asian languages. I don't know offhand, but the tone of how you're saying the word changes the meaning of the word. So in English, if you have the word heard and heard, you can hear something, heard, I heard it, or you can herd a bunch of animals, right? The spelling of that word would make it a different meaning. But in Mandarin, the tone, the intonation, if you say to a word, there are four different tones that you can attribute to a word, and each tone makes that word mean a different thing. And okay. I don't know nearly enough to give you an example right now, but...
Well, here's my question with your example there.
Sure.
Because heard and heard, you can't tell how they're spelled by them Correct. By just saying it.
Correct.
You have to use the context of the sentence that you're saying.
Correct.
So is that comparable to Mandarin?
So from my understanding, no. My understanding is the tone by which you use the word, the tone you use when you, or the inflection you use when you say the word, adjusts the meaning of the word. So I'll give you an example that's not correct, right? So let's take the word red and red, right?
Sure.
One is to read something, one is the color. If sure. I were to say red, I read the book and the book was red. Mm-hmm. Both of those are the same thing. But if I were to say, and I'm exaggerating just for the sake of the point, I read the book and the book was red. The first one, because my inflection was different, you would know that I mean to read that book.
Interesting.
What so if I were to just say it out of normal, I would be like, the word is red. Then you would know, okay, R-E-A-D. But if I say the word is red, then you would know it's the color red. It's fascinating. So
what if, while you're speaking, you're out of tune?
Right. I mean, this is a nightmare to me. Like, I can get the basic concept of language. Like, I can lock into my brain reasonably, okay, this word means this, this word means this. But the moment you throw tone into this, look, we're performers. Tone is a lot of how you present information up on stage, sure. right? And so, you know, sarcasm, I have to imagine, is very difficult in languages where tone adjusts the meaning of the word. It's really, truly fascinating. I've learned two phrases, and that's all I know at this point. As I continue to grow, so I know hello, which is ni hao.
Okay, I've heard that.
And then I know thank you, which is xie xie.
Okay, now... Does the tone of how you say either of those change the meaning of them?
Like, absolutely no idea. No idea at
like,
all.
Like if you say, say thank you with a different tone.
Right.
I mean, what if it's kind of like a, you know, oh, thank you, you know?
Yeah, like a sarcastic thank you.
Sure. Does that change the meaning of it, or does it still mean thank you? And people just are like, well, that guy's an asshole.
No idea. All I know is that I'm saying both of those in the correct tone at this point. And so nobody has thought that I'm being an asshole.
Okay, well, that's good.
The truth of the matter is that, you know, as me and Julie continue to progress our relationship, if we have kids, she will want the kids to learn Mandarin. And I'm not going to have an entire household of people being able to speak a language behind my back that I don't understand or know.
That's a good policy.
First of all, well, on the one hand, I mean, it's just ripe for comedic material. I mean, so on the other hand, I almost am willing to make the sacrifice. But the only thing I asked is I was like, look, I am going to learn Mandarin, you know, for you and for your parents and for our family. The one requirement I have is you cannot let any family member of yours know that I'm learning Mandarin until I have perfected it and can find out if they're talking shit about me behind my back.
Wow, perfected it. So it's going to be a little while before.
I mean, I'd say like 3 months. How long does it take to learn a language? Hey, Siri, how?
I'm going to guess it's going to take you a little longer than 3 months to perfect Mandarin.
That's fair. That's fair. Fluent in 3 months, perfection in six. You know, they make a set of...
Good on you, man.
They make a set of earbuds. I heard about this recently. I've been trying to find them that will translate for you.
They've made the Babelfish technology happen.
Then why am I learning this thing? Just get me a tiny ass Bluetooth, stick it in my ear.
Yeah, they have like I think they've perfected real time translation technology.
Okay, I got to check this out and see whether it's accurate, because within 3 months I'll be able to test this thing to see if it's accurate, because I'll be fluent. And by the way, my training regimen for Mandarin is pretty aggressive. Which is, I say hello and thank you on the rare opportunities that I'm given. And then I bust out Duolingo like once every week and a half. And so I'm on track to
you're really on that 3 month track. Yeah.
In defense of me, it's more than I studied when I was actually in school. So.
Well, so when I was in high school, I took 4 years of Spanish in high school.
Yeah.
So that I wouldn't have to take a language in college. I tested out of.
Smart.
Like I took care of the requirement in high school, so I wouldn't have to worry about it in college. I have not used a Spanish. Andrea and I and some friends, this is before we got married, took a trip to Puerto Rico.
Okay.
And I don't know why I didn't think that Spanish would have been a dominant language in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, that's not like the same.
Like we were there for like 3 days and I was like, finally, the library. Like that was like his biblioteca. Is like one of the only words I know. Let me tell you how much of an idiot I am. So we were down there and we took the Bacardi factory tour.
Oh, okay.
And I am at the end of the tour. I'm like, well, when do I get to meet Ron Bacardi? Idiot me doesn't know that rum is Ron in Spanish. On the label of a bottle of Bacardi, it says Ron Bacardi. And I just figured it's like Jack Daniel. Like, that's just the guy. Nope. It turns out it just means Bacardi rum. That's all it means.
Hmm.
So, yeah. Language is not exactly my forte. That's what I'm trying to say.
I really enjoy language. I do. I speak restaurant Spanish, which... You know, I know how to say like derecha, izquierda.
It doesn't sound like you do.
It's a little foreign to me. I haven't used it in about a year and a half, but I know how to say on your right or right, left, and behind, because those are the things that you normally say in restaurants. And then it's rare that I get to bust out my French class story, but somehow we managed to find our way onto this topic on this podcast.
Sure, why not?
So when I was in high school, you had to take a language. You had brought up that you had taken a language. I took French for some reason. And so I had a teacher, Madame Gibson, who was this woman who in no way spoke French. I mean, maybe she knew it a little bit, but most of our class was her pushing play on a tape recorder and just like playing the French thing. And again, I was one of those kids that like was happy to do the thing as long as it made sense. But when things didn't make sense in class, I wasn't too much of a smart ass, but I definitely pushed back a little bit. So I found it a little odd and kind of insensitive that we had to come up with names from the country that we were learning languages from.
Sure. We had to do the same thing in Spanish class.
It just seemed like, I don't know, like, it just didn't feel, it felt unnecessary. Like, I don't know. I resisted it too heavily.
What was your French name?
So this is where we're getting to. So this is how I knew that she didn't really speak French, because everybody had chosen names in the class. And some kids have come up with creative names. One kid came up with a Damanoff, which is deviled eggs, which was not bad. I came up with Jared, spelled J-A-R-E-D. It was just my name. And she goes, tu es toi, whatever it is. Je suis Jared. Tu es Jared? Oui, madame. Oui. Je suis Jared. And so that lasted about two classes until I had to write my name down on a piece of paper. And she goes, oh, no. No, Jared. Tu es Jared. I'm like, no, madame. Je suis not Jared. Je suis Jared. And so I'm going back and forth with her in French. She makes me come up with a new name by the end of the class. And so I came up with the name Lom, L-O-M. She goes, Lom? I go, Lom, L-O-M. She goes, all right. Tu es Lom? You are Lom? Oui, madame. Je suis Lom. I am Lom. Now, the thing is, I spelled it L-O-M, but L apostrophe H-O-M-M-E, Lom, means the man in French. So for an entire year, I had this teacher going, Jared, are you the man? Yes, madame. I am the man. Which for those of you who are not in our age gap was a very cool thing to be back in the day. You were the man. That was a cool thing.
By the way, I'll have you know, I've looked at the demographics recently of our podcast. 20% of our listeners are aged 60 plus.
What?
Which primarily, I think, is our relatives.
Yeah. I mean, look, now we know our market. This was our big problem.
Sure.
All along. In 20 years, we're going to do a retirement home tour.
We're going to find a niche somewhere. God there damn it. Is.
Oh, my God. Oh, so you know what I finally watched this week? Julie and I watched two movies that we haven't watched. Mm-hmm. We have our movie list. I watched Parasite.
Oh, isn't that good?
Fantastic.
Yeah, it was real good.
Fantastic. And then the other movie we watched was Truman Show, because she had never seen it.
Oh, wow.
And she hated both of them.
She hated Parasite?
She hated Parasite.
What was her beef with Parasite?
Julie doesn't like when things make her uncomfortable or cringy. Oh, well, that was, like, yes. Like, she doesn't like the anxiety of certain... Like, we watched Jumanji The Next Level last night, and she loved it. She was like, this is the perfect movie. And by the way, Kevin Hart doing an impression of Danny Glover can live rent-free in my head for existence. Obviously, I'm not ruining anything. The media's been out for a while, but outside of the original four... Danny DeVito and Danny Glover get sucked in as well. And mm-hmm. Kevin Hart is Danny Glover and The Rock is Danny DeVito. And both do, The Rock does a pretty good impression of DeVito. Kevin Hart kills Danny Glover. I mean, it is just very, very funny. But she didn't like The Truman Show and she didn't like, The Truman Show ended and she goes, so why do people like this movie? And I was like...
Which is very much like her reaction to The Muppet Show, I think.
Right.
So you enjoyed this?
Julie was not raised with television. She didn't really have a TV around until she was like maybe in her teens. Mm. So she wasn't indoctrinated into it in the same way that I was. And so like, for me, I explained to her, I was like, she's like, what these people are doing to this child is very wrong. And I go, yes, it is. But the other thing you have to keep in mind is none of it's real. All of this is make-believe. These people in the Truman Show are make-believe. The Parasite people are make-believe. Even the Jumanji people are make-believe. None of it's real. So they're just telling the story of what if something like this happened and then the subsequent events that lead to its conclusion. Yeah, I'm generating a list of like movies that she just will not like will not watch.
So wait a minute, you're generating a list of movies that she doesn't like and saying, hey, let's watch these?
No. I'm generating a movie list. We have one list of movies that we need to watch because she hasn't seen and I haven't seen. And then from that list is a separate list, which is like, we're not watching these because you're just not going to like them.
Oh, I see. You have extrapolated.
Yes.
Based on what she already does not like.
Correct.
That she will not like X.
Yes. You know,
whatever it happens to be. So what now is on your extrapolation list based on the fact that she does not like The Truman Show or Parasite?
Okay. I don't think she's going to like Anchorman. She's never seen Anchorman.
Anchorman is one of the few Will Ferrell vehicles that I can enjoy because there are certain parts of it that do make me fall on the floor laughing. Like when Jack Black punts the dog off the bridge, I about lost my mind. It was the funniest goddamn thing I've ever seen.
That dog looks oddly, not oddly like, but in the same like general shape as Winnie when it gets painted off that bridge.
Baxter? I don't think Baxter and Winnie look alike. But
No, but they're the same size.
Yeah, roughly. I mean, I would not call Winnie puntable.
How big's Winnie? Winnie's not like puntable?
She's like 15 pounds.
What?
Yeah.
I swear to God, man, when I look at those photos of her, she seems like a lot smaller.
Yeah, no, she presents as smaller, but she's got like length to her and, she's 15 pounds. And I'm glad we don't have to deal with a dog that's bigger than that because when she sets her feet and decides she doesn't want to go somewhere or decides that she wants to get to something that is down the street and she has to go there, I have trouble controlling that. I can't imagine handling a dog 40, 50, 60 pounds. By the way, have you seen the recent spate of news stories that say people are returning the pets they got during the pandemic.
What?
Yes.
No. Are you?
Yes.
What?
They're sending them back because
you
now.
Can't.
I know. What kind of soulless monsters?
What kind of shit? You can't. What are you doing?
Yeah, these are actual living things. You can't just return them. They have emotional attachment to you. They love you unconditionally. They rely on you for things.
I feel like there are a lot of relationships that are going to go this direction as well.
Yeah,
there are a lot of relationships that started because of the pandemic. Now the pandemic's easing up. It's like, ooh, you and I got along really well when we were in lockdown all the time.
Sure. But, now I don't have to be home. So.
Right. Now that you want to go places all the time and I don't, I've gotten very used to our life of just sitting around doing nothing.
Before we got Winnie,
yeah,
I had to be convinced to get a dog. But I never had pets growing up. The only pets I had were like hermit crabs and fish and the occasional rock, you know? And I could very easily control those environments.
Yep.
And you know, I had hermit crabs die because I didn't realize he had to change the shell. Yeah,
you could change the shell for hermit crabs?
Well, you have to put new shells in the tank.
Oh.
So they will migrate to a larger shell as they get bigger. This one grew to the size where it got stuck in his shell. We had to flush it down the toilet. Anyway, it was very sad, very sad. But I had to be convinced to get a dog. And I was like, all right, listen, I've got three requirements.
Okay.
Get a dog.
What are the three?
Number one, I don't want dog hair all over the place. Okay. Can't shed. She's a poodle. She does not shed.
Yep.
Perfect. I also didn't want a yippy dog. I didn't want a dog that's just barky, barky, barky all the time. Now, Winnie, especially recently, like in the last year, has become a bit of a jerk to dogs that walk across the sidewalk in front of our house or down the alley. She's very territorial and she's very protective.
Yeah.
I cannot fault her for that. She's very good at what she does, but she can be a bit of an asshole sometimes.
Right.
But the biggest thing, this was a deal breaker.
Yep.
Small poops.
Yeah, small dogs, small poops.
I did not want to have to be chasing this dog around with a snow shovel because there are dogs in our neighborhood. Like, they're like Great Danes in our neighborhood. And like, you need like tall kitchen bags to pick up those shits. So I wanted to make sure that nice, small, very manageable poops. That's what I want.
Where I record from is the office. And as you can see, like you can see, but nobody else can, there's a window behind me that looks out. And so, you know, dogs are walking back here constantly. And Clayton, Julie's dog, is just losing his mind all the time. I have a squirt bottle off camera that I use to not only keep my living wall barely alive, but also to shoot him with when he's over there yipping away. He was barking at one point because there was a dog across the street with its owner. And this is what I witnessed. And I've never actually witnessed this in person before. Tell me if this is a thing. The dog was pooping. Now, what I'm used to, and again, everybody has their own method.
Everybody poops.
The dog poops on the ground. I take the bag, grab the poop with my hand, and then do the plastic bag pull inside out see where it kind of goes up and around the poop.
That is the move.
That's the move, right? This guy had his hand under the dog and was catching the poop as it was falling out of the dog.
In the bag.
Directly into his handbag, right.
Oh, well, you're eliminating a step, but that's some hand-eye coordination right there.
I don't know why, it doesn't feel right.
Well, it doesn't feel right just to catch it right out of the old Play-Doh Fun Factory there?
Look, here's the thing. I know that a poop is not a hot tea or a cup of coffee. The time it takes the temperature of liquids to cool down once it's hit, you know, the normal atmosphere is a long time. But I find it more comfortable to give it a second to hit the ground and cool off a little bit. I don't know how I would feel about that heat hitting my hand directly as it was falling out.
I've picked up some warm ones. I mean, especially, you know, during the winter when the temperature differential between fresh poop and the ground are, you know, it's a literal steamer.
It is a steamer.
And you can, like, if she's had, you know, she had a big meal or whatever, she it's been a little while since she has pooped, it's a heftier one.
This podcast has really taken a left-hand turn into the content that people want to hear us talking about.
I would imagine eventually, and I'm surprised it took us 17 episodes to get to it, they would want to hear about Winnie at some point. Although, you know, and I'll drop a picture in the description of the podcast so you can see Winnie. I do every Friday on Facebook. I have the Friday Winnie fix so people can get their weekly cute infusion, and it carries them into the weekend with her floofy face.
I was going to say, if you do not already follow Jared on Facebook, do so, and you will get to see Winnie's cuteness. And if you're following Jared, it's just one click away to follow me, because both of our names pop up when you type Jared Stern.
Exactly. Us and all the other Jared Sterns.
Speaking of Jared Stern confusion, you asked me about my Mother's Day. My Mother's Day started out weird because I was the second Jared Stern to wish my mother a happy Mother's Day on Mother's Day.
Yeah, well, you know, time zones being what they are. And, well, I figured with the upcoming meeting.
Of course.
And it's Mother's Day. And I said, and a special shout out to my mother from another brother.
That's right.
Marianne Stern. I apologize for stealing whatever thunder that you had, you had planned for Mother's Day, but it just felt like the right thing to do.
Don't even worry about it.
I wasn't sure exactly what to talk about on this particular podcast. I feel like this is just kind of like a prepisode, you know, like we're building up to the big thing. And that next episode, this one, you don't even need to listen to this one. The next one. That's the one.
Of all the things that get edited out of this episode, you edit out. You don't even need to listen to this episode. I'm somebody who I think by nature is lazy. Like I'm very complacent. Yep. Like I remember growing up at one point, my grades were so bad in high school that my parents removed the doors from my bedroom. They took the doors off the hinges. And so I had to nail up against the door frame, a sheet. And I still remember this, oddly enough. It was like a green and white striped sheet. And so in my mind, I was like, now I don't have a door. Like I didn't miss a beat with it. It was just like, well, this is my new reality. I can accept it now.
So did they remove the door so you could not hide behind the door and do nothing so they could look in on you?
Pop in, be like, hey, are you studying? Hey, are you doing work? That type of thing.
Man, we are so alike.
Yeah.
In that
if my mom does listen to this, so I'm very happy that I get to bring this up, but the laundry room was right next to my bedroom. And the number of times that my mother did laundry, but was not really doing laundry, just to come up and eavesdrop on whatever the hell was happening up there. Too many times to count. I can't remember it. I won't waste our time on the podcast trying to remember.
I got news for you. We've been wasting a lot of time on this particular episode. I'm not even sure if I can cut together a usable episode out of what we've been talking about. It's been very all over the place and very, like, just to my own ear, not very interesting.
I'm not going to pretend like I haven't felt the same way.
Yeah, no.
We talked about dog shit and cars.
But that's fine. Talking about the dog shit's fine because that's relatable. As we've discovered throughout the last year, everyone's got a dog now.
That's valid.
The dog population has exploded.
So you know what I would like to talk to you about very briefly?
What's that?
How do you feel after therapy last week? Because one of the things that I found really interesting about that episode was the way it started. So when Ariel first said to you, you know, what are you dealing with right now? I think in Ariel's mind, she meant in regards to you and me.
Oh,
and you took that to mean for yourself, which I actually thought was really good because you were talking about the imposter syndrome and other things. How are you settling into the new job? How are you feeling regarding that?
You know what? Things are so far have been going fine. What I have to keep telling myself is the people who hired me and who chose me over a bunch of other people don't want to see me fail.
Yeah, right?
They're not going to try and put me in any kind of situation where I am going to immediately flush everything down the tubes in the first 2 weeks.
Yep.
Give me a couple months for that.
Yeah.
But no, I won't lie and say I don't have anxiety about going into work or about facing another week of it, because there are new challenges. There are new things on every horizon. But so far, I have met those challenges and have been able to come across. I've been able to pass myself off as competent, as one does when they're an imposter.
But I mean, being able to exude confidence in a scenario where you might not necessarily be confident, this is where stand-up comedy comes in as a skill set.
Yeah, I suppose so. The thing is, I'm just trying to find my sea legs.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a whole new language that I've got to learn. There's a whole new corporate structure I have to learn. There's all new bureaucracy that I have to learn to navigate. Like in previous jobs, you know, you kind of find out how to tiptoe around certain things. Who do you work well with? Who's going to be, you know, complimentary to you and what you do. Mm-hmm. A buddy of mine put it really well. He says, "Jared, you walk without leaving footprints because I'm able to go between different personalities of people, work with all of them, and not ruffle any feathers on either side."
Yep.
I've learned to do that very, very well. And that has come from dealing with just the ego maniacs that I've encountered in stand-up comedy and just learning to placate people to make sure that they feel like they've been heard.
Yep.
Make sure they feel like their opinions matter.
Yep.
And then finding a way around that if need be.
Well, what's interesting is in the entertainment world, whether it's stand-up comedy, whether it's film, television, whatever, in stage, there are no rules. You're allowed to do pretty much whatever you want or say whatever you want to people. Like, I've had people who have run clubs, directors, producers who have been complete assholes to people who I've worked with.
Sure.
And it is acceptable. The thing about the corporate world is there are rules.
Yeah.
There are rules for how you are supposed to behave. So for Jared Stearns alike, who do not like conflict and have developed that personality where you can kind of ease tension and make sure that, you know, everybody is okay. These are skill sets that are oftentimes very desired in the workplace.
Yeah.
More so than knowing how to do the job you got hired for in the first place.
Yeah.
You can teach the job. You can't teach somebody to be likable and not piss everybody off.
Yeah, likability is a big part of it.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's interesting just because I've worked in a lot of different places and dealt with a lot of different things and had to learn a lot of different languages and tones. And like a slick digital agency where I had to give their communications an edge. But then I went from that to government adjacent public health, working for stuff like the CDC and the NIH. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did social media for the NIH for a little while. And all of that stuff had to be, you write it out, you send it to the client like a month in advance, and then they approve or disapprove of it, and then you change it. Because you can't be putting out wrong information for the NIH or the CDC.
Right.
Accuracy matters, and you can't muddle the message trying to be cheeky. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then, so from there, I was working with a nonprofit for early childhood educators. And so I had to learn all about early childhood education. I'd learned about all the different public policy that has to go along with that and what's important to teachers and what's important to families. You learn all of these different ways to talk about stuff. And now I got to learn real estate. So that's just the next thing on the, and you know what? It's a lot like learning Mandarin.
Is it? bring it back. No, bring it all back around. Just
of this. You know, it's funny. So I talking about like, because they have such a corporate mentality, and it's kind of a very buttoned down, it'll take me a little while to loosen them up to do some more adventurous things.
Yeah.
Social media wise, they hadn't done like a Cinco de Mayo post before.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why. They've done other holidays. I don't know why Cinco de Mayo wasn't on their radar. So I had the idea, do a little play on words. Even in Spanish, it was a play on words. So the play on mi casa es su casa.
Mm-hmm.
I said tu casa es nuestra casa, which is your house is our house.
Oh, okay. And see, so, this is that Spanish you took in school, testing out of just coming all the way back around.
I ran it through Google Translate. I'm not taking any credit for that. And I thought this was a lovely sentiment because it means we treat your house with the same respect as our house. That was the sentiment that I wanted to get across. So I'm researching some hashtags and, you know, and the history of Cinco de Mayo comes up, and, you know, they defeated the French at the Battle of Pueblo, I believe is what it was. And they said that the it celebrates anti-colonialist roots. And I was like, we can't use that.
No.
Nope.
No.
That's going to get misconstrued.
Yeah. But
I meant well, but nope. We just went with Feliz Cinco de Mayo.
Yep. You don't want to end up in another Wendy's women belong in the kitchen tweet.
Sure, exactly. I don't need that to happen in my first week there. Yes, I could imagine it. I could, and it was a horrifying imagination. And I was like,
"Oh
nope,
my god!"
We're just gonna pull the plug on this. We're gonna pull the ripcord and just forget it.
All right.
So yeah. So that's been my last couple of weeks in the corporate world.
So I will end this episode with a little anecdote that I've been wanting to use for a while now. And it happened again, because this has happened twice now. And I haven't said it because we didn't want to change our Wi-Fi passwords and stuff again. So we have Cox Internet. And of all of the many businesses that Jared and I would be happy to advertise on behalf of here at Between Two Sterns, I will never recommend that you use Cox Internet. It is the worst internet possible, and their customer service is pretty atrocious as well. But I've had nothing but terrible experiences. They actually said to me on a call, because we had an internet package, and then we were trying to change it around, so they changed the internet package, and we were like, we don't want that one. If you're going to do X, Y, and Z, change it back. And they go, oh, we can't. We already changed it. And we were like, we didn't authorize you to change it. We were just talking about possibly doing it. Well, we can't change it back. And I was like, fine, then I'll go someplace else. And they actually said to me, they're like, sir, the only other option in your area is AT&T, and that's only 10 gigabytes per second. We're pretty much the only thing that you can buy right now.
Wow.
And I was like, you sons of bitches. So anyway, we get one of their modems, their remote wireless modems, right? And so it's awful. Like if you ever, and I never did this for years, I always like used like Comcast or whatever. They were just invest in a router, just invest in one, because you will get such better results from your internet. Anyway, so you get the router set up, and it's, you know, it's whatever. It's their network name is, the network name is Orbi 35, and the password's like some generic password that they give to us like on the box, which is like Joyous Phoenix 060, right?
Okay.
So Julie wants to change the router name and the password. And I go, yeah, that's fine. And I go, what do you want to change it to? And she goes, 8008 IES, which is boobies spelled out with numbers and letters.
Yes, it is.
And I went, delightful. So I typed it in, and then I said, what should the password be? And she said, and I won't say how it's done. It's with a variety of different characteristics and whatnot, but my titties. And this is all Julie. So that would have been great if it worked, but it didn't, and it wouldn't, and it kept not working. And I had to call Cox, and I don't know why I didn't think that they would need this, but they go, okay, and what's the brand of the router? And I go, it's an Orbi. And go, okay. And what's the network name? And I was like, ha, 8008IES. And there was a slight pause as they're typing it in. They're like, 800. Huh. Okay. And in my head, I'm like, oh no. And they're like, and the password? And I was like, my titties. I didn't say it. I spelled it hoping.
Right.
So it's like, and what's the password? They're like, M-Y.
No. You have to go, you have to spell it in different chunks. M-Y-T.
Right.
I-T-T.
Hoping that it comes up as an asterisk and it doesn't spell. Whatever it was, it definitely got spelled out. Because I didn't say it. I was just like, M-Y-T-I-T-T-I-E-S. And they were like, uh-huh. And in that moment, that's when I really needed Julie to pop in and be like, it was my idea. Like, so I didn't look like some chauvinist ass.
So what you're telling me is, and I hope I'm not stepping on your anecdote here, but you had to call Cox about my titties.
Exactly. That's the punchline. And I'm happy you found it for me. Also, Julie heard the phrase my titties and ran down the stairs.
It was my idea.
That's Julie. Hopefully that's loud. Boost the audio at that point so people sure. know. What a week. I'm excited for next week. Are you excited for next week?
I'm very excited.
This week? Are you excited
for this week? Is this week? Yeah. I'm super stoked. I have a special shirt I'm going to wear for the occasion.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. It's a surprise. I'm not going to tell you what it is. But
well, I have to find a special shirt to wear for the occasion.
Well.
I'm going to wear a tuxedo shirt, a tuxedo t-shirt.
Okay. Go ahead. Please do. Get all fancy on me.
No, I will find some sort of shirt to wear that is on par with you. I'm really excited. I can't believe it's happening. I try not to get too excited or to think about it too much because I keep thinking something's going to happen to cause it to not occur. Knock on whatever fake particle board this wood desk is made out of. But mm-hmm. I'm excited, man. I really can't wait.
I don't know what I'm more excited for us to finally meet face to face or for our parents to finally
right?
meet face because they're neighbors and
I
have a feeling I have a hope that this will touch off a friendship because they need friends, they need people to talk to, they need other people in their age range that live nearby that they can do activities with and they can just kibitz about their sons.
I you know? Could not agree more.
This episode, by the way, is going to be about a half an hour.
This episode is going to be 4 minutes of just us being like, and we're getting together next week. Have a good week, guys. Go back and listen to the past episode. If you're listening to this episode, go back and listen to episode 16. It's a great episode.
It really is. You should go back and listen. But basically, this episode is going to be your French name, your learning Mandarin, your French class, my dog's poop. And then the anecdote at the end. And really, I think that's going to be it. Yeah. And it's somewhere in the middle, me saying this is not an interesting episode.
I could live with that. Look, they're not always going to be great. But the one thing we can always promise you is it's always authentic right here. Between two turns. We're going to nail this in person.
Next episode.
Yeah.
It's going to be in sync.
It's
going to happen.
I mean... I'm the Joey Fatone to your Justin Timberlake.
Flip that.
If we're flipping it, then I'm the Lance Bass to your Joey Fatone.
Easily. Okay, fine. I will take that. Yes.
Yeah.
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 There is no Justin Timberlake in this group.
No, there's not. The other Jared Stern. He could be Justin Timberlake.
Anyway, we're rambling. That's what we do right here between two Sterns.
That's pretty good. Yeah. All right. Hi, buddy.
All right. See you soon.